Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Let me try and explain this whole situation a little bit better and in more simpler terms with regard to the Black Lives Matter shooting of five Dallas police officers this past week and the altercations we saw between cops and black civilians. If you don't know the background, two black civilians died this week in altercations with police. And it remains to be seen whether or not the police were right or wrong. I agree with most people, it's very incriminating and looks like the police killed these guys and should not have. They had the case of Alton Sterling in Louisiana where he was resisting arrest, but he was being held on the ground and the police shot him and he died on video. Then you had the case in Minnesota. I think they have a video with that too. It was a traffic violation. That guy was shot apparently while he was reaching for his wallet. It looks really incriminating. The point is not to defend the cops. My point is this. We need to not just inject race into it, which is what politicians do in order to explain it. And I want to simply show you how that works. Now, as far as those police incidents this week, it has to be handled in a court of law. Even though, as I said so many times, it looks very incriminating that the cops are guilty, we still wait in a nation of law and order for a trial before a judge and a jury, Old Testament style, just like it was prescribed for Israel, it's prescribed in our country. And we hold back the verdict, ultimately, until that point. We don't just use 20-second video clips or social media posts to pass a verdict in the court of public opinion. That's not how it works. But this is what politicians do in order to exploit situations, and then you end up in the long run with race riots and five dead cops in Dallas for no reason. So let me walk you through this, how it works. The textbook case would be Ferguson, Missouri, a couple years ago where Michael Brown was killed. As soon as you have altercation between a cop, particularly a white cop, and a black minority, the liberals run to the microphones to clamor for police reform because they say it's racism, racism. It doesn't matter what the facts are or what happened. They just take advantage of the situation. In the case of Ferguson, Missouri, Michael Brown was a criminal. He had been in a situation of trying to steal from a shop, I believe, and then cops showed up. He was resisting arrest. He became aggressive, violent, went for the cop's gun, and in order to pacify the situation, self-defense, the cop had used lethal force, and Michael Brown was shot. Now, they started calling him immediately the gentle giant, which was a lie. He was not. And they repeated this slogan, hands up, don't shoot, if you remember that. And the autopsy showed that he wasn't gunned down in cold blood in a defensive posture with his hands up yelling, don't shoot. He was aggressively going after the cop, and the cop had to defend himself. So that lie was spun and repeated until the entire culture adopted it, and it created racial strife and anger. And this isn't conspiracy theory stuff because it's being done out in the wide open. People know the facts of the case in Ferguson, Missouri, and they know the facts of what liberals and Obama and others have said about it. It's not, again, I want to keep emphasizing that. It's not conspiracy theory. It's being done in the wide open by liberals. And what happens is they turn these victims into national martyrs. These victims, even if they were criminals, is the case of Michael Brown, or we look at the case of Freddie Gray in Baltimore, or Eric Garner, as I've said before, in New York, and I've talked about all these on previous episodes, you could check it out. These cops in these situations were exonerated. Sometimes, case of Baltimore, they weren't even white cops. But all that people remember is the name of this victim, and that becomes martyr's heroic name, and the slogans are repeated, and the name is chanted over and over again, and racial strife is created. Now, here's how it works. After the incident occurs and the narrative is changed, then the liberals and Obama start yelling about police brutality. And the point I'm trying to make in this situation we're currently in, even if the cops in Louisiana or in Minnesota were wrong, there is not a consistent problem of police brutality in this country perpetrated by white cops against black civilians and black victims. White cops are not gunning down innocent blacks in the streets. There's no statistical evidence showing that, and yet that is the theme that keeps being repeated. And why? Because of political advantage, political exploitation, as I explained. It's the politics of victimization. What you do is you tell one group over and over again that they're the victims. And so you have your victims, then you need the aggressors. And you keep repeating this rallying cry that there's a group of aggressors that are attacking these victims in the society. And so you divide up the society, and in doing that, you create voting blocks. So in this case, with police brutality, you keep saying that blacks are being targeted by white cops. And then you present yourself as a politician as the savior. You're going to get back at the aggressors and punish them for the things they've done to the victims. And you will take care of the victims and advocate for them and speak for their rights and allow them to get back at the racist majority. So that's what Obama and the liberals do. When these things occur, you always hear Obama say things like, there are racial disparities in the criminal justice system. Rather than not injecting himself into a local matter, which as a president, he should not do at all. But even if he does, rather than saying we just need to wait for justice and we need to stay united as a people and not make this about race, no, immediately there's racial problems, disparities in the criminal justice system. We need police reform. And so they repeat this rallying cry that there's a victim and we need to get back at the aggressors and we're going to advocate as the political savior for the minority. And this politics of victimization they use, again, to create voting blocks so that they will stay in power. Liberals and Democrats love to do this so that those constituents and those cohorts will vote for them and keep giving them political power. So, for example, the war on women makes women the victim of evil white male America. Environmentalism makes the environment a victim of corporate capitalist America. And in all those situations, the women then vote for the Democrats, the environmentalists will vote for the liberal Democrats. There's a war on gays, right, from white Christian America. And so political savior again, the Democrats, liberals have to play that card and gain that voting block. And it's all to stay in power. And this idea of wanting to accumulate power in a democratic republic by creating voting blocks is not, again, conspiracy stuff or a foreign concept. We know from a Christian worldview and from our own history, how we were framed and constituted as a republic, that man has a tendency towards evil, a penchant for evil. He wants to accumulate and hold and keep power. And so this is what politicians do. They rile up all the voters, create strife, and say, I'll come in and defend you, the victim, as long as you vote for me. And they keep maintaining power that way. So the politics of victimization is what plays into this. And then also you have the agenda that liberals want to advance through something like this. So they say, well, now that this has happened, they exploit it to move forward a political position. Let's, for example, gun control. You had Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, after the incident in Dallas, comes forward and says, well, we need to prevent violent people like this from getting their hands on these dangerous weapons. Now, it sounds like she's advocating in favor of the police who were victims in Dallas, but all she's doing is exploiting it to push an anti-gun, gun control agenda to the dissolution of our Second Amendment right. Or, as Obama always says, police reform, you see them pushing for national regulation of police forces. You got to understand, that's a dangerous liberal agenda to nationalize the police force and regulate our police forces. Police in this country are local to municipalities, towns, counties, states, independent from the federal government, separation of powers. That's how we do it in a free republic. But for liberals, no, they want to amass power and they want to accumulate power. And so one of the best ways to do that is to bring all the local police forces under national oversight and control, a federal police force. And before you know it, you've got what? The Gestapo, brown shirts. You have what the Nazis had, a national police force. And that is an agenda point of liberalism. And they use this by crying out for police reform to justify the federal government regulating our local law enforcement. And that is the last thing we want as conservatives and freedom-loving patriots. So again, you see this agenda being pushed, and that's the political exploitation I'm talking about. also, you know, people say, oh, well, Obama made a good point. Loretta Lynch made a good point in talking about these situations, saying that it wasn't good what happened to Dallas cops. You have to understand, with liberals, anything they're saying like that that sounds good is merely for political expediency. It's not because they really care about the victims or care about the blacks that were killed, because here's the thing. Their absolute silence on the real loss of life amongst blacks is what betrays the fact that they don't really care about that. They're just using whatever incident they can to perpetuate a media narrative. In this case, the media narrative that they're perpetuating is police brutality of whites against blacks, which, as we've said so many times, is just not even a true, statistically true reality. What is a reality is the death rate amongst black civilians at the hands of black criminals, black on black crime. They never talk about that, those things going on in the inner cities and black communities that are heart-wrenching. No, they don't care about talking about that. All they do is take an incident where racism can be injected into the situation for political gain, and then they start clamoring about that. That's what I mean by exploitation. So they create these false narratives based on no facts, and then you end up with the Black Lives Matter movement, repeated slogans, and in the end, you have them forcing a liberal agenda, you have them coalescing votes out of certain angry constituents and cohorts, and you end up with five dead cops in Dallas, all because the liberals are creating more and more racial strife and tension for political advantage. Does that make sense? It's not about trying to protect cops who are wrong. If these cops were wrong this past week, convict them in the court of law to the point of capital punishment if need be. The point I'm trying to make is that in all of this, we need justice to prevail and we need truth to be maintained. And truth is not maintained when liberals keep running to the microphone yelling about racism when there isn't racist police brutality just to continue to accumulate political power. Okay, we're out of time. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there, and when liberals keep repeating all of their mantras and empty platitudes and slogans, just go ahead, hold their feet to the fire.